Hello, my name is Simon. Welcome to Why Is That? A free speech platform where we explore big ideas and the controversies of our time. Hello, beloveds, and welcome back to another episode of Why Is That? Most people would say they're virtuous, but when pressed on what virtues are, they might be a little bit vague. They hold these beliefs, but they seem to only have a vague grasp on the fundamentals. Why is that? I think this might actually be the first pure philosophy show I've done, and we will be looking at virtues, which are tied into ethics and morality. Now, we will be studying Aristotelian ethics, because Aristotle is the philosopher. The very foundation of Western thought is based on the trinity of Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, with Aristotle being the pinnacle, known throughout the West for centuries as the philosopher. And do you know why modern philosophy is regarded as a joke? It's because they went away from Aristotle. Descartes was the beginning of just the unwinding of philosophy. But that's a topic of another time. You know who also sucked? Nietzsche. But he had some good points. But yeah, unlike modern philosophy, which really just comes from a horrendous mindset of modernism. You know, what is modern must be more refined and better than what was in the past. Where we know what we call modern philosophy now, for philosophers who develop certain ideas, the Athenian school of philosophy laid the foundation of Western philosophical thought. So yes, we'll be using what has stood the test of time. And if you disagree, you're possibly a sociopath. So basically, what is virtue? Well, moral virtue is a disposition to behave in the right manner and in a moderate way, because not only is there the virtue, there is the deficiency and the excess. Now, very few people study ethics these days, and or virtues, which are ethics. In school these days. Now, of course, you don't need to have formally studied it to be a moral, ethical, virtuous person. Usually it's from observed behavior. Usually parents are the first teachers and, you know, from their example. But you also follow the example of people you respect. You know, they show good virtue, and a lot of people are attracted to the good because they're transcendentals. What's good, what's true, and what's united, and by united, integrity, and where one is, the other two tend to be. And some people say beauty is attached to that, but probably the best way to put it is that it's a crown to that. Because sometimes things are beautiful which aren't true, but when you know something is the real deal and it is good and it is true and it's just integrity, it's beautiful. A beauty that moves the soul. God, I love philosophy. But the importance of studying philosophy and virtue and ethics and is so you have a better idea. I mean, one of the problems in modern society is kind of the breakdown of discipline, of doing something hard. I mean, if you've ever done martial arts, it isn't easy, and it's a quest for self-mastery, which, of course, if one seeks to master yourself and to help live a happier life, you know, a better life, you should study virtue and not just for your own sake, for the sake of others. And actually, also part of your own sake is if you start realizing some of the people around you are not virtuous people, shall we say, it might be time to move on. We'll talk to them about their behavior. It's really up to you. This is a radio show, not a cult. Yet. But like martial arts, unless you are aware and practiced, you might think of yourself as a virtuous person, but not act virtuously, which can lead to harm for you and others. And sometimes that harm to yourself is a loss of reputation. There used to be somebody who was a very good friend of mine who I just lost all respect for because of cowardice. It just disgusted. And I suppose this should lead us into as courage is a virtue. Now, a whole lot of people out there, especially men, think when the time comes, they'll be the hero, they'll be very courageous. But when the time comes, they find they just can't, for a better term, man up. And for women, you find feminism is giving them so many excuses just to be cowards. Sorry, it's true. We do have to learn to be courageous. We have to try ourselves. This is why I recommend martial arts. I mean, you see first-time fighters, they're so scared of getting hit. And it's not cowardice, it's just, you know, they've never had the experience, and of course, pain hurts. You may not know this. But yeah, it's just facing that fear. And of course, the deficiency of courage, which is a vice, is cowardice. Those who run from a fight. Now, to be very clear, I'm not talking about physically, although sometimes it might come down to that. And sometimes when faced with physical confrontation, the brave and courageous thing to do is walk away. These things are all very situational. So that's why it's important to educate yourself so you have an idea how to act in any given situation. The defense of others. I see somebody being treated wrongly, but I say nothing because, you know, I don't want to get in the firing line or be excluded from a group or whatever. So, you know, you tolerate the appalling behavior. That's cowardice. No one wants a coward watching their back because they know a coward will not have their back. But of course, there is an excess of courage, too much rashness, also known as bravado, where basically there is a lack of fear. I mean, courage is facing the fear and doing it anyway, but it's kind of a brain-dead version of courage. I mean, if you jump off a cliff and you know there might be concerns and you're feeling fear, that might be courageous. But if you just jump off and you don't know or care if there's anything dangerous down there, that's rashness and bravado. If you're wondering why anyone would consider jumping off a cliff, oh, jumping off a cliff into large volumes of water is awesome. Cliff jumping, highly recommend it. But it's important to know the difference between courage and bravado, because one is intelligent, the other is not. I mean, you know, in like movies and stuff, you know, it's like, are you afraid? And they're like, no. And it's like, you should be. Yeah, that's actually sound advice. Moving on, there is also temperance, which is a virtue. Basically, everything in moderation. Alcohol is quite good to enjoy, but too much. When you get drunk, you lose self-control. It actually poisons your system. That's what creates hangovers. You know, drinking to excess is actually quite a horrible thing. But a whole lot of people present it as a virtue. Oh, look how much he can drink, and oh, that's a great achievement. No, it's stupid. I'm sorry, just drink in moderation, people. And the deficiency of temperance is insensitivity. Basically, of all the vices and virtues and deficiencies and anything to be, this is one of the rarest. Literally, Aristotle in the notes said this is very rare, because otherwise, generally, people are temperate, whether excessive. There's very little deficiency in this regard. Of course, temperance can also be sexual discipline, which has been practiced up until the sexual revolution. And an excess is sleeping around, where so many psychological studies and things like that have shown it really damages people's mental health, especially women's. And, of course, it creates all those single mothers, which the welfare state has to pay for. Of course, you can always learn and practice virtue and get back on the right path. And if that sounds a little bit judgmental, well, bear in mind, other people, i.e. the taxpayer, are paying for their choices. You also come across interesting things, like in Aristotle's ethics, to do with like the spending of money. And in the ethics category, there is the regarding getting and spending small amounts, and also getting and big, spending big amounts. And for like the big amounts, the mean is actually magnificence. You know, spending great deals of money provides something of magnificence, where the deficiency is pettiness. And it's like, dude, you had the money to create something beautiful and things like that, and you're just really petty with the money, you know. But of course, the excess is vulgarity. You know, sometimes you look at these things and it's like, oh, that is so vulgar. That is just over the top. It's gaudy. You know, this is like, when people mock Donald Trump, and it's like, yeah, we'll put, you know, gold trim everywhere, you know, class up the joint. Ah, philosophy is fun. I just love, you know, the big and small amounts. As coming from a working middle class background and having known a whole lot of multimillionaires, we are talking about very different levels when it comes to money and spending. And, of course, there are, well, one thing I'd love to do with a show on itself, but I don't know if I can stretch that out, is honour and dishonour. And as with money, they've got a major and minor category. In the major category, the virtue is magnanimity. Sorry, it's hard to pronounce things sometimes. It translates as big spirit. Compared to its deficiency, I hate these words sometimes. And that means puny spirit, where, you know, like, don't be such a puss, you know. But we're in excess of on dishonor is vanity, where you're just so damn self-obsessed. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. If you haven't figured out that I'm doing the show off the top of my head, stupid moving, although I should have probably been more on top of that. I'm sure I breached virtue on so many levels there. But probably people would be more familiar with the minor things of honor and dishonor, where the virtue is proper ambition, you know, very realistic and wanting to do better. And the deficiency is unambitiousness, basically being unambitious. You're not doing anything with your life, you know. Basically, the human condition is all about striving and wanting to do better and be better. And just pure ambition and excess is just, it's kind of a loss of perspective, where you're just so focused, you miss why are you doing it? For example, cheating at sports. Proper ambition is you want to win. But if it's just pure ambition, you're quite happy to cheat. You want success for success's sake. But to quote the movie Cool Runnings, if you're not enough without it, you're not enough with it. You know what I mean? This came from the guy, John Candy's character, who cheated to get a gold medal in the Olympics and had it stripped from him. So he was speaking from experience, that character. Now moving on to the more interesting ones. Self-expression. We often have to present ourselves to people and to the world in job interviews and meeting new people, and the virtue is truthfulness. You just speak honestly and truthfully about yourself. And with the excess of that is boastfulness, just going around, oh yeah, I'm so great. Yep. And you might, exaggerate things, and generally people pick up on that and they don't like it, people who are boastful. But of course there is the deficiency, understatement. You can undersell yourself. I had this with a friend of mine who's a very good photographer, and there was a magazine editor. I asked, do you want me to introduce you? So, the opportunities. And he's like, yep. And so I introduce him. And it's like, oh, my friend, the photographer. And he's like, oh, no, I'm not that good. There's the time to sell yourself. Now, where that was really bad was that made me look like an idiot. Yeah, I recommend this guy who doesn't rate himself. What the hell, mate? What the hell? I know this is quickly going through the list, but I'm hoping this is giving you food for thought. Because sometimes we think we're doing something and we're virtuous. We're actually, no, it's a rather deficiency or excess. And that might actually affect our success in life. Look at me, I'm a motivational speaker or something. Okay, virtue and conversation. Wittiness. Oh, God, it's always good to be the intelligent, witty person, isn't it? That is the way to be. And the deficiency is boorishness. Now, a boor is actually a peasant. So basically, it's coming across as rude and uncultured. So if somebody's being a boor, and you probably heard the expression, don't be such a boor, you just stop being a pleb, You'll find a lot of people wanting to speak on topics they know nothing about. They usually come across as boors then, even though they weren't meant to sound witty. Now, of course, the excess is buffoonery. Basically, just, a buffoon is just silly with foolishness, where if you're witty, you're engaging, and it's humor and comedy is one thing, but being a fool is quite the other. It's always important to have wit, which is also the initials of the show. Why is that? Wit. If you haven't figured that out by now, maybe not witty. Now, how should we conduct ourselves socially? Well, of course, there's virtues for that. I mean, this is just a table I'm reading from, which is done from Aristotle's works. Of course, his works go into all these things in greater detail, which I highly recommend. Aristotle, just type in Aristotelian ethics and it'll come up because he wrote several things on ethics. Now, in social conduct, there is friendliness. It's, it's always good to be nice to people and be respectful, etc. A deficiency is cantankerousness. Being cantankerous is, you know, you're quite aggressive. I probably should have found a translation with the more common translations, but to be cantankerous is basically ill-spirited. Sort of cranky and surly and just... yeah, just short-tempered. Where on the other hand, the excess is flattery, or... oh, God, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that. Basically, rather excessive praise and, oh, you're so wonderful, and oh, you're so great, and blah, 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 and people usually pick up on that and go, what a kiss ass. Or also being very, instead of, you know, going, you're so great, also excessively can be very, being very submissive and just, there's being friendly and then there's just being a pushover. Now I think about it, this is probably the bit of ethics that tends to go towards dating. Yeah. I don't know, have you ever had a date and she's like, oh my God, you're so interesting, oh, da, da, da. It comes across as really fake. And I already know I'm great. Okay, in shame, as I said before, you could probably find better translations or more, but like modesty is a virtue, and the deficiency is shamelessness. We just have no shame, and sometimes that is presented as a good thing, but no, shame is a very good social mechanism to correct behavior. And sometimes it's important that people have shame. And generally people who are shameless act shamefully. And it does, they don't internalize it, but it does surround them. On the excess is shyness, where basically you hide away. It's an excess of modesty, you know. And we're not just talking about, you know, when people talk about modesty, showing flesh or whatever. But, you know, in this regard, you know, you don't show yourself and you just hide away. You put yourself in a metaphorical burqa, I suppose. Now, I'll leave it there, even though there's a little bit more. But that's the thing. There's always more to learn, and it's important to learn. I mean, one of the things about philosophy is, especially Aristotle presents it with the teaching of virtues, is happiness is the highest good. Now, it's also important to note, you know, now it is very important to note that no man is an island, and basically the pursuit of happiness, a big part of it is we all need to get along. Otherwise, we're inflicting not so goodly stuff on each other. So that's why it is good to learn good conduct. So there can be good. Do you see how this works? But it, I mean, philosophy, the love of wisdom, the study of it is for the good life. Basically, if you know what you're doing, you do it a lot better. Where if you're in the dark about how to act and proceed, then honestly, your life isn't that good. You're usually embroiled in conflict internally and sometimes externally. Just, your conduct gets you into trouble, or you surround yourself with people who basically are trouble. But for all those who are lazy, you're not going to look it up, which is highly, highly unvirtuous. Shame on you, shameless people. Aristotle, in his mind, there were four cardinal virtues, so which all others stem from. If you get these right, you know, everything else flows. The first one is prudence, which is a practical wisdom. It is the most important virtue for Aristotle. And on the next on the list is temperance, basically self-control. You know, have to have control of yourself to help have control of the situation sometimes. The third one is courage, often misunderstood. Is kind of confidence in the face of fear. And fourth is justice, which is to give somebody their due. It's usually a lack of virtue that results in injustice. And oh, and today with social justice warriors and their virtue signaling, it's a lot easier to say, yes, I have virtue and I'm against this and that, rather than actually exercise the virtue. This is why they often engage in what's known as selectivism, where they profess, look, I am for justice, the whole social justice movement thing. I'm a good person because I'm for justice, where some of the stuff they're arguing for is actually ethically unjust. The redistribution of wealth. Is it yours? No. And then get your hands off it, you thief. And they think they're being courageous when they're not. Meryl Streep's anti-Trump thing some award ceremony, I forget which one it is. And, you know, it took no courage. I mean, almost everyone in the room, except for maybe Mel Gibson, were all horrible leftists who agreed with everything she said. It didn't take courage. It was just her grandstanding that wasn't virtuous. And if you study up on virtue and know where the line is, you can point out what is virtuous and what is not. Because there is a lot of emotionality out there, and, you know, people thinking things are good which aren't. But if you have an idea about virtue, you can point out how they're not actually virtuous at all, these things, and sometimes they're quite bad. But unless you actually have an education in these things, you can't do it. It was a while ago. I can't remember. A car accident I mentioned, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that I was in and got a concussion and whiplash and still recovering from that. But the back of my friend's car, the boot had to be tied up, and we had rope and do that. But he said to me, you know, I thought doing a knot would be easy, but now I sort of understand why, you know, groups like Scouts, you know, go over the huge lengths and how to teach how to tie knots, etc. And I said, yeah, it's like not tying and fighting, you know, unless you're actually trained when it comes down to it. You're not going to provide very good results unless you know what you're doing. And it's the same thing with moral action. Okay, I will leave it there. Bit ranty, but I hope people learnt something. And it is a very broad topic. And there's a lot to learn. And I had the privilege of being able to sit down with a great philosopher in his class and having class conversations about virtues, because it's always good to talk with friends. And, you know, it's a great dinner time conversation talking about virtues. It's a real bonding experience. Okay, bye. And of course, be courageous. It's a virtue.